Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North. Towering over the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas is a giant statue of Jesus known as Christ of the Ozarks. This seven-story-tall white statue peers over the residents of Eureka Springs and one of its main attractions, the Great Passion Play. That's a fully produced reenactment of the life and crucifixion of Jesus Christ in an amphitheater that seats thousands. What you wouldn't typically associate with a small southern Christian town is its LGBTQ population, their political activism, and their embrace of their faith. But that's the story that filmmakers Michael Palmieri and Donald Mosher found when they arrived in Eureka Springs. Their resulting documentary, The Gospel of Eureka, examines the worlds of the Passion Play and the LGBTQ plus performers and patrons at a gospel drag show in a popular gay bar. Everyone is looking for faith, love, and civil rights in their own practices. Directors Palmieri and Mosher joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski by Skype recently to talk about the documentary. Palmieri began by explaining what brought them to the small town of Eureka Springs in the first place.
There was a civil rights ordinance that was happening in the town around 2015, and the company Field of Vision, who was just starting out, they were starting out doing some political online documentaries, and they asked us to go down to Eureka Springs to cover the civil rights ordinance, which involved basically basic civil liberties for LGBTQIA members in the city. And so we went down there and covered that fight over the ordinance and the vote. But once we got down there, we realized there was a much more interesting story there. So we ended up staying down there for about three more years.
That's quite extensive too. And the ordinance you're talking about is Ordinance 2223. And when you had little bits of that in your documentary, The Gospel of Eureka, you know, I found a line in there that someone said really intriguing, that everyone is welcome here, even the Christians. So when you guys went into this to cover this aspect and found so much more, did this project kind of shape itself since you went down there on a different premise in itself?
Yeah, in a sense, yes. Eureka is a really unique place, as you can see from the film, but we also found a kind of microcosm for the dialogue that was happening, you know, the more subtle dialogue that was happening within Christian faith on both the left and the right was being played out right in front of us in the town. So the biggest thing was actually there was much to shape out of all that.
Yeah, it's an interesting, you know, juxtaposition how some people and characters in your film have used religion as a way of support for their sexuality, for their life, for the way they live, and others use it classically and all across the world and America to, you know, terrorize or use it as political activism and that kind of thing. So did the townspeople itself, when you were there and getting to know them, did they see their different views of Christianity as something like another battle to be waged amongst themselves?
I don't know if they necessarily thought of it as a battle. I mean, I definitely think the evangelicals in the town possibly see it as a battle, but not all of them. I think that there's a sort of continuity in faith with Southern Christians. So just because you're gay doesn't mean you can't be Christian or hold Christian values or faith. So I think it's more like what we were hoping to do is sort of shape, there is a debate going on in the religious community in general, members of faith, you know, on both sides, you know, meaning when we say both sides, we mean to say, you know, the more conservative people in the world of faith, and then the people who you'd be considering more liberal, like the LGBTQIA community. But that dialogue is constantly ongoing. And I just don't think many people have really examined it as such. It's always pitched as a battle. It's a little more complicated than that.
Another layer of complexity that's added to this film, especially if you're not from the South, is just the culture of Southern Christianity in itself. So what assumptions about small Southern town Arkansas did you want to dismantle for the audience? Or what did you notice as you were there that you found beautiful and intriguing?
The South tends to be like a metaphorical shorthand for communities that are deep in faith across the United States. Eureka, it kind of shows a dialogue in process. By proximity, the rule of love thy neighbor is not only an idealistic position, it's also a practical one, you know, because you do see everyone every day. And these are small towns. And if you grow up in the South or if you grow up in American Christianity, you are trained to use the images of the religion as a sort of language unto itself, a kind of, you know, like a poetic language. So what we could see was how one person could take a statement from the Bible or a position of the Bible and interpret it one way, and then a queer person could completely reinvest that passage or that bit of scripture with a self-defining power. And then the two would have to talk to each other, partially because they live in a small town. And the language of Christianity, rather than dividing, actually was a means which two parties who have been taught that they should be enemies have a common language.
With another juxtaposition of using the Bible, Christianity, church in physical settings, you know, you open up this documentary on the Passion Play property grounds. And for myself, speaking as someone who was raised Catholic, I found it a little jarring and it made me a little uncomfortable to be like thrown into that world. So when you first were exploring this town, how did you view it, not just as filmmakers, but personally?
Well, I mean, I guess it's one way to answer the question is when our friends at Field of Vision shared with us that there was this town called Eureka Springs, they showed us this picture, and there was this giant statue of Jesus Christ that looks kind of like a milk carton standing on top of the hill. And we thought, okay, that's interesting. So, you know, for us, that's the type of strangeness that we're drawn to initially, right? To begin with. I think it's easy to go into these places, especially like tourist towns, and for lack of a better way of describing it, make fun of people. And we didn't want to do that. It's hard to sort of orient the positions of people who you know, I mean, I do not agree with Randall Christie and some of his positions. I think that the Passion Play is this, it's a cool thing for Christians to go do and see, but I'm not certain that it's espousing, 100% espousing the positions that I, as a gay man, can get behind. But then at the same time, the people who I align with most in the town, the people who are the LGBT Christians in the town, they don't seem to have an issue with it, and in fact are participating in it. So that opened my eyes towards what is acceptable in this community. What am I not seeing?
When you were going into this town and establishing these relationships, what did the subjects want you to see? Did they have any, you know, reticence at first of being explored on a deeper level for this documentary, or were you welcomed?
Well, that actually kind of gets at the sort of our methodology as filmmakers. I mean, we tend to not work with people who don't wish to, you know, who haven't invited us. The kinds of films that we make only work when you have the participation of people, the full participation of the people who are involved, where there's some sort of pact that occurs before you start filming. That's like, okay, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to explore something together. I mean, like one of the reasons I think we're able to film at the Passion Play with, say, Randall and Kent and them is that we expressly stated that we didn't want to do something like what you might see in The Daily Show or something, which is sort of going in and shorthanding everything and making fun of people in a way, which I understand serves its purpose, but it doesn't really get us anywhere. We take very seriously the people that we put on screen and we put in front of the camera. And that's how I think we get stuff out of it. So it's definitely like there's a period where you're finding out who it is that you're going to be spending time with. But it doesn't really take much convincing. People either want to talk or they don't.
So how did connecting with your subjects affect you in the long run? You're there for a very long time getting to know people, and it touches you far beyond the final edit is done.
Speaking for myself, you know, I grew up in North Carolina, and I fled because I was physically attacked, and it was an emotionally traumatic place to be a young gay man. And so to find a place like Eureka where people feel free to leave their faith, keep their faith, redefine their faith, whatever their political position is, was kind of a miracle to me. I knew that Southern gay, lesbian, queer Christians were out there just reshaping the faith as they needed it to help themselves. But I was not in a world where I really saw that in action. And so watching that made me reconsider what it was like. It taught me how much things have progressed in 20 years since I was a teenager. And then working at the Passion Play and watching people, we came to realize that there was some sort of campy magic happening at the Passion Play that I wouldn't have expected. When we entered filming the Passion Play, we saw people who were dedicated to putting on a good show, working very hard, feeling like it was part of their faith and their mission, all those things, and we wanted to respect that. But we kind of realized that the audience and the participants were looking for the same thing that when Mike and I or a member of our community goes to a drag show, which is a moment where a community is expressing themselves theatrically for each other. And that was happening in the drag bar, and it was happening on the stage in the Passion Play. And I had to broaden my view of performance and expression, because I wouldn't have, I've never before we did the film would I have thought about the implications of self-expression through performance when you think of conservative Christians.
And for you, Michael?
Everyone in this town definitely surprised me. And I feel like I got very close with a lot of subjects in this film. Lee and Walter specifically, we became really close with. And to me, they were kind of like heroes in a way because of their history working through the AIDS crisis in Memphis and just sort of their outlook in general. But I'd say the same could extend to Kent, who plays Jesus. I mean, I think this is a really dedicated artist and actor and, you know, community activist and just sort of like all around wonderful guy, and who surprised me constantly about, you know, just sort of who he was and what he believed and why. I think everyone in that town has pretty much made their mark on us. Yeah, it's an incredible place, honestly.
Yeah, I think we can both say that to address like change made on us. It's still surprising after all this time that we made a film sort of, you know, looking at and sometimes praising Christianity at all. This is not something either one of us expected that we would end up doing.
And, right. Yeah, in a way, it's like saying praising Christianity. It's sort of like, examining or, you know, there's this book, it's called the Bible. It has these things in it. You know, there's a lot of ways of interpreting the Bible. And I think in large part, the people of Eureka Springs are interpreting the things in the Bible that we all kind of agree are good things. And the things that they're sort of wrestling over are the things I think the larger culture has always been wrestling over. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm forwarding the the conversation much.
No, it's good. That kind of leads me to one thing I was feeling watching it, you know, because a lot of people experience similar to you, Donal, like you flee something that you were raised on because you realize it doesn't line up with your beliefs, your principles, who you are. And many times, perhaps actively try not to think about it, to not engage. And then here's your documentary that shows communities fully engaging in their faith, no matter what their identity is. And do you feel like, you know, this could not challenge in a bad way, but could make people reevaluate their perspectives on how people can live both with their identity and their faith?
Well, we hope that's the case. I mean, that's absolutely the issue. I mean, just because I'm not a Christian doesn't mean that what Christians are doing in this film makes any of their beliefs wrong or off base.
I feel like for some people, you leave the church, but the church doesn't leave you. You know, for other people, you just flat on move on and can't look back. And the dialogue about, you know, conservative Christians and, you know, people on the left, and the dialogue, you know, for conservative Christians about people on the left, there's so much divisiveness that if this film can just make people pause and kind of understand, like, for myself, I am not really a proponent of organized religion at all. I don't think it's done humanity much good if you look at the long stretch of history, you know, but it's not going anywhere. And we're not going to erase Christianity from the fabric of American life. So we should see the breadth of it as much as we can and find what strengths it can give to making progressive choices.
As these dynamics kind of remain cyclical and ever present, how do you want people to go away from your documentary?
Well, certainly, I mean, on the simplest level, there's more similarities than differences here. Both the drag shows and the passion play, really, they're both drag shows. So in some ways, we're sort of leveling the playing field that way by showing how similar the performances are. And then there's similarities in the way people believe, the core of what people are believing in. I mean, love thy neighbor is something that people of all different backgrounds can find common ground with. But the ways in which they express that is different, you know, in different parts of the community. But in fact, you know, when we put it through our lens, it's actually quite similar and hopefully to comic and enjoyable effect.
Yeah. I mean, one of our mottos when making the film, we were following Dolly Parton's show advice, which was make them laugh, make them cry, terrorize them, send them home. And so if we did any of those three, then when we're happy.
Well, I think you certainly accomplished Dolly's advice here. Michael and Janelle, thank you both so much for taking some time to talk about the Gospel of Eureka.
Thanks for having us.
Film and multimedia artists Michael Palmieri and Donald Mosier directed The Gospel of Eureka. The documentary premiered on PBS's series POV this month, and it's now available to watch online at pbs.org. Mosier and Palmieri spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski.